Yeah, Farscape's amazing.
I can't get too excited about it. I mean, I respect it that it's unique IP as far as science fiction goes. It's its own world. I love the puppetry and the costumes. Amazing. But the story, I can't get behind Crichton's delivery, or the actor of Crichton, the way he plays that character. And he's just like a big old frat boy in space. And he's supposed to be this super intelligent astrophysicist who accidentally gets... I mean, he's not even like a hotshot Air Force test pilot. He's just like a... He's supposed to be like this nerdy astrophysicist who gets caught up in this experimental accident, right? And then he's just like this big frat boy in space. It's really...
That was actually the alternate title. I don't know if you know.
Yeah,
Frat Boy in Space.
Hey, and welcome to episode 21 of The Unwind, a show where we talk about tech, talk about games, talk about gadgets, and pretty much anything about geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
And Happy New Year's. It's Happy 2015. Year. It's a little late.
But it's okay.
You guys actually, I don't know if you know this, you only exist to me in the podcast universe. Like, I just do not acknowledge you outside of this.
This is very true.
Yeah. So, anybody have any New Year's resolutions this year?
I just try to be awesome every day of my life.
So. And you succeed, my friend.
My New Year's resolution is to start up a podcast again with...
Is it? Because I'm pretty sure I had to drag you into this again.
No.
I
was on last week.
I have a legitimate one, which is to be healthier this year. I'm actually eating better. Like, I used to have pretty much calzone every single night. I've stopped doing that. I had a salad with chickpeas the other night. Granted, we had pizza tonight. So I guess that doesn't really count.
Hey.
I had a salad with pizza.
Yeah. It's a pizza salad. Actually, I bought the Microsoft Band to do. I'm sure that'll come up in a future episode. Not today, though. Although it is very Microsoft heavy, but not about this. So I've been tracking my calories. I've been trying to track intake and stuff like that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Shave. Thank you. Going to the gym?
We're trying to support you.
Change man. So anyway, we have a new year. It's been a while since we've done a show. I think it's been 4 or 5 months, something like that.
Yep.
So we've decided to change up the format a little bit. So the way it's going to work now is that each of us are going to bring a topic that we want to talk about each week. And if we have a guest, they'll bring their topic and we will discuss it for a little while. And it'll be a good time.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So first topic is Josiah. What do you got for us?
All right. So Windows had their Microsoft had an announcement this week talking about Windows 10 and a few other things. So let's start with Windows 10. What's new in Windows 10?
Do you want to talk about it, John?
Sure. So Windows 10 is probably this is a major release. This is kind of... To a lot of people, Windows 10 is supposed to be what Windows 7 was to Vista. There really wasn't that much adoption, or not as good adoption as people wanted for Windows 8.
And let's just clarify that Windows 10 is really Windows 9, in that it's the Windows coming out after Windows 8.1.
Yes, there's no 9. They got rid of it. They're just
right.
Like, no, the skipping 9. Don't care about this.
We'll get to make fun of Apple once they get to 10.10, but we'll see what happens then.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty major release, and it's not just that it's a new operating system for Microsoft, but this is really pivotal because they've been pushing this whole Metro/tiled interface, and this is where they want to make good on it because a lot of people were a little disappointed in Windows 8 and 8.1. So basically, the main part is, so Windows 10 will be across all form factors. You're going to have the same software on Windows Phone, which it's not called Windows Phone anymore. It's just Windows.
It's actually back to Windows Mobile, I think.
Oh, I thought it was just Windows across
the way. I'm pretty sure they call it Windows Mobile now, which is funny because that's actually when I started with Windows Phones. Yeah. I owned Windows Mobile Phone.
Memories.
But it doesn't have a start menu.
So you have your phone, you have a tablet, you have a regular laptop, a desktop. They're all going to be running the same Windows 10. And presumably it also – well, they haven't really talked about Surface RT support, so I'm not sure what they're going to do with that. You know, but everything else
– I don't understand what they mean when they say that. I mean, is it the same kernel? Is it if I'm a developer, I program it once and it's going to work automatically on all three platforms?
I mean, that was a big push of this, right? Is that when you develop one app, it'll work universally on all devices.
I'm very skeptical. I mean, if they can pull it off, awesome. But
I'm not surprised.
I mean,
I'm not surprised that you're skeptical.
So the thing is that they might have to build apps slightly differently, but like you kind of compare it to Android. Android, and this is also one of its flaws, is that it has so many different screen sizes. So what Android developers do is they don't program to a specific resolution. They have more flexible resolutions. You might use different things versus if you're an Apple dev, you're targeting specific resolutions. But it definitely is possible. I don't know from the developer side how they actually program it,
yeah.
But I'm sure there's a system to, you know, almost like the way responsive websites work in that it understands the context.
No, I get that as far as scaling for the screen and the resolutions. That can work. I'm not so worried about that, but just the processing power that's needed. And you know,
yeah.
like if I incorporate all those different resolutions, then when I get on my Windows phone or Windows mobile, I mean, is it going to be a 3 gigabyte app because it's got all the other stuff packaged into the program? Like that piece is really confusing to me. But anyhow, we can move on.
So yeah, I mean, let me just run through all the announcements. There's a lot that they packed into this, right? So in addition to that, one of the interesting things is they're offering a free year of Windows 10. As a free upgrade to anybody with Windows 8, 8.1, and also Windows 7, which is pretty interesting.
And Windows Phone 8.
And so if you guys know I'm the Apple guy, right? So I will say for the last 3 years, every Mac OS X upgrade has been free. And there's no time limit on that. It's if your computer can run it, it's free.
But we know why that is, because they don't make their money off software. I mean, they make some of their money, but they know you're pretty much only going to install OS X on a Apple device. So if they make their money that way, Microsoft is a software company. They make – like they're as into hardware as Apple is into software.
That's a fair point, but I'm just – compare and contrasting.
Sure. So
also, you don't even need CD keys, right? You can just install
it. It's all on the App Store. So
well,
it's
even before
downloaded.
That, like if you had like a Leopard install disk, I'm pretty sure even if you just got your friends, you could just pop it in and install.
So they also brought up, they started showing off Windows Mobile Windows Phone 10 or whatever you want to call it a little bit more. There was a big push to integrate Cortana into
on the desktop.
Yeah. Yes. Which was pretty interesting. I mean, it's one of those things like I don't know how much I'm going to talk to my computer. That said, you can do, type to search too. There was another couple of interesting things that they did with the Xbox is that you can now stream games from your Xbox One to your PC.
Yep.
Which we can go into a little bit in a sec. Also, they started talking about this Surface Hub, which is basically their old Surface table just mounted on a wall now and really meant for businesses. It's basically
presentations.
It's got a pen support, which kind of looks like a smart board, built-in webcams, things like that. And then they had this new hologram technology, which we'll talk about in the next topic. So what stood out to you guys in this? Like what's going to be the big thing?
I'm interested in finding out a little bit more with the Xbox One streaming. I know we were talking about this a little before the show started, but they're walking back from it now, but when Xbox One was released or announced last year, they did this big push on TV, right? So can somebody in the living room use the Xbox One to watch TV, and can I go into my office and stream an Xbox One game to my my 24-inch computer or something like that? Can those things happen at the same time? Mm-hmm. Because the benefit in my mind is supposed to be, well, we can do two things with one piece of hardware, but is it two things with one piece of hardware at the same time, right? So that's a question mark in my mind.
You know, that's interesting, especially because – so initially that kind of situation would be perfectly fine because Microsoft made the Xbox to split up its memory and its CPU, that some of it would be dedicated to the OS, the menu OS, and some of it would be dedicated to the game, and they'd kind of be separate. So you knew they could always work. It's not like they're sharing all the same components. But because the PS4 has had such a strong lead in terms of GPU and CPU, and people have actually seen the differences, Microsoft has been making changes to the Xbox software to give developers more power. But the only place they can take power from is other pieces that were initially separate. Like, for example, now you can take power from the Kinect. Well, not take power from the Kinect, but not give power to the Kinect. My understanding is they're doing even more of that. And I would wonder if, you know, they probably had headroom for the OS when they made it, but I wonder if they're eating into that headroom to give it more power. And I don't know. Yeah, if you're watching TV and you're playing a full game, I don't know if that becomes an issue or not.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I found it really funny because when at WWDC, when they do these announcements, there's a huge crowd of people who are at those types of events. I think I/O is kind of the same, right? And so there were very few people at this conference. So it was funny because every time they would make an announcement, they would pause waiting for people to go crazy and start, you know, cheering and clapping and stuff and just silent. So then they would just stand there like for an awkward second and be like, okay, moving on.
Joe Belfiore, I remember saying something. Nobody did anything. He's like, oh, you guys are all typing. Okay. And, but you know, I was thinking about that too. And I think it's more uniquely Apple, and I even think of seeing clips from old WWDC, like early 2000s, and there was still that crowd atmosphere, whereas I remember even seeing the video at I.O. There's part where the official video, there are people walking in front of the camera as though you're in a movie theater in the back. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, definitely right now, I think Google and Apple have that cool factor a little bit more than Microsoft does. But I was taken aback by that too. But I feel like, I don't know, I guess it's more common. And everybody's furiously typing their live notes. But it was hilarious.
So
I feel bad for them.
So let's move on to our next topic, which is somewhat related to this. Sean, I think you're going to introduce it.
So this was the crazy part. This was the thing that I don't think anybody really expected them to bring out.
It did get a little bit of a cheer.
Does that mean that nobody wanted it?
No one saw this coming, I don't think.
It's definitely one of those. So basically, it's a thing called the HoloLens. And it's basically an augmented reality device, meaning it's a headset. You know, you put it on your face, and there's a piece of glass or some material, some transparent material in front of you. And what it does is on that screen, it will show something as though it's in the room with you. So, for example, they showed a demo where they had a little cartoon character. And so you have this transparent visor, and you can look at your couch, and it'll look like that cartoon character is bouncing on your couch. And that's why it's called augmented reality, because it's still your room. It's whatever your surroundings are, but they almost add to it. And it almost looks like you can touch or feel whatever it is.
Yeah, and you can get versions of this on smartphones.
Yeah,
yes. Where you
Nintendo
DS. Use the screen and the camera at the same time. And even the PS3 had this with their Magic Eye or whatever it was.
The PS4, they also did the one where with the controller they had those little I mean, it's not augmented reality because it was on the TV screen. Yeah. But the idea was that it's with the PlayStation.
So everyone was expecting them to come out and release something to compete with the Oculus, with Morpheus that Sony's doing, some other virtual reality headset. And instead they come out with this augmented reality. And it's interesting because the promo reel that they released, you know, they did show some gaming, like there was this Minecraft-esque thing where it kind of looked like he was, you know, making a world around him.
Yeah, virtual Legos in his own living room.
Right, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they also, I think we're pushing this as a business device also, where, they kept showing a motorcycle. I don't really know why that was, but basically they could see, you know, the real parts of a motorcycle in front of them and then an augmented layer of what they were designing, and they can edit it on the fly.
Right.
The other piece they
and a big piece of this was hand gestures to control what was on the AR. So pinching, pulling, swiping.
Yeah, there's no input devices. No, you're getting rid of the mouse, keyboard, you're getting rid of a controller, and you're just using, I think gaze was another big one. So if you look in a direction, I think they showed it was a 3x3, I think, menu and to get to different apps. And I think you look at the one that you want to go into, and then you push your finger or something like that, and that's how you select it.
It's definitely something cool. I will say, us explaining it doesn't do it justice. And admittedly, So the device is real. They have working prototypes, and I believe the people at the conference were actually able to try it out. Yeah. So it's not vaporware. But us explaining to it, you kind of have to see the video. If you go online, you can find a video.
I was watching the video, and I saw it, and then I just remember seeing similar videos a couple of years ago. I want to say it was a Gorilla Glass video where they were showing how in your home you could have all these different screens and devices.
That video is called A Day of Glass.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, their window, they could have blinds and stuff. Their refrigerator had input, their stove and all this stuff. And so I got really excited at first, and then I was like, all right, I need to reel it back because, you know, they can make whatever they want in a promo video.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the video, I was just sitting there like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, what is this? What is happening right now? Like, I don't even know how to process half of this stuff.
So one thing with that, I think that point is fair. The only major difference is this is a real product. People have been trying it today, whereas the Gorilla Glass or whatever that thing, I'm pretty sure that was literally just made. However, the promo video, it's not a direct feed from the from the actual headset.
Yeah, it's heavily stylized and produced.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell. And so this execution is going to be really key, how high res, how realistic looking it is. But one thing I will say, I still agree with your main point, the fact that you're skeptical, because another great example of this happening is the Kinect.
Yes.
The Kinect, for years, they showed it, and it worked.
Awesome.
And
when they demoed it the first time.
They had some cool ideas. I was even on a website, and Peter Molyneux commented on it. And he's kind of a big deal because he's worked with Microsoft a lot.
Well, they love Lionhead Studios because they showed on Fable during this too.
Yeah, so but he commented like this kind of thing, but then I'm like, this is the same thing that happened with the Kinect, and at this point the Kinect is really interesting technology, but it's just not really anything.
So
and by the way, I actually think Kinect technologies are part of this.
I would imagine. But yeah, well, so what was the thing they had in their living room that it projects?
A Luma room.
Yeah, so I think it's the progression of that. So they're like, well, no one's going to want a projector in their room, so let's just put it in front of your face instead.
Well, to that end, this past year, 2014, a lot of people talking about VR. That's when Facebook picked up Oculus and they got closer to a consumer product. And, Samsung came out with their VR headset that uses their phone and Google Cardboard, all this stuff. So a lot of stuff about VR last year. And I kind of had the feeling that me personally, I would prefer for AR to take the lead. Augmented reality. So in this announcement, I'm actually kind of excited. I think that's really cool.
Coming from you, that's pretty good.
But, I mean, hands down, I cannot believe that they seriously think that this is a consumer-ready product because it looks atrocious. It looks like you're wearing a visor.
That's going to be the... Yeah,
it's
but this
huge.
Isn't meant to be worn out in the streets like Google Glass, though.
These people were wearing it in their work office space, walking around with several other people wearing it.
It's different than wearing it out in public, though.
Yeah, sure.
So here's the thing. It definitely... One key is, as far as I know, it's definitely meant to be worn indoors. However, indoors is a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I agree with Josiah, because like I think of... They make interesting use cases, but imagine if you're with a coworker, you're looking at their face and they've got this thing, you're going to be talking
I've
to
said
them.
This repeatedly. I want to look like a cyborg. So the more devices that I can attach to my body is the better. So let me bring this up there real quick. So they said that it's actually a self-contained computer, which is actually pretty cool because everything else we've seen that is, you know, a wearable device, you need a phone, you need a computer, you need something else.
No, it's definitely impressive what they did. I just don't think it's consumer ready.
No, that's fine. So here's the thing though, is that it has its own CPU, has its own GPU, it has an HPU, I think they said. It was like a hollow processing unit.
Whatever.
So you got
just like how my Moto X 2013 is an 8-core processor. Because it has a dedicated core for listening.
So you got to figure that it's going to be north of $1,000. I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to push this south of $1,000, I don't think. I mean, with all this stuff in it.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that every single wearable device that we've had has not had, like, really high definition to it. So, I mean, unless this is putting out in, like, 4K. Granted, it's augmented and not a full VR set.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if this is anything less than that, I don't think I would get it.
I'm not sure it works the same way, though, does it? Because it's not like you have... Well, the Oculus has an LCD screen in front of you. I don't think it has a screen. In a traditional sense.
They showed off somebody watching TV on it. They showed off somebody on a Skype call and things like that.
But you're talking about the quality of what's in front of you. So Oculus Rift, one of the things holding it back is there are no real 4K screens and nothing that can drive 4K at that size. I mean, it took them long enough to get 1080p screens. So the thing is, I don't actually know what technology is used in AR. It's not an LCD screen. It's something else because it's transparent. I don't know how it works.
I think it's similar to Google Glass. It's projecting onto the visor.
So does that mean you have different constraints? I don't know, easier or more difficult? I know notably for Oculus, what their constraints were, they were always buying smartphone screens. They would just – and they didn't have much money. But that's a thing you have to think about. I don't know if using a projector – Microsoft could just make a technology that
speculation. I don't know exactly what technology they're using. That's what I'm speculating, though, is that there's some kind of projector because there was a visor that covers the eyes. Yeah.
I think there's two layers of glass. I think there's it looks like, I don't know, I caught a quick glimpse of it. It looked like there were traditional glasses and then another visor over that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah. I mean, but it's definitely interesting. In the promo video, they showed a lot of, I guess, entertainment and work, industry or enterprise uses, which I think is interesting. I'm coming at it from, what Google did with the Explorer program for Google Glass, and they really pushed it as a consumer-ready product. Google did. And
a
lot of people now
knew what it was.
Well, yeah, definitely it was in their beta, but I mean, they expected people to pay, $1,500 and walk around wearing this stuff. And a lot of the fashion lineups that they did with Diane von Furstenberg and other people, you could tell they wanted it to be a consumer product on the street with Google Glass. With the promo video, I feel like, I know I was complaining about this earlier, but I feel like Microsoft is just kind of throwing stuff out there to plant ideas, and they'll take their usual sit back and give it to developers approach. I just wish that they would come out and say that rather than say this is a real product and it will be sold later this year, I'd rather have them say this is a real product and we're going to have beta dev kits available
developers. It seems like Microsoft's issue, no matter what they do, is finding developers to actually do stuff for their platforms. And I don't know. The one thing they did say is that all Windows 10 apps will work with this. I don't know what that means. I don't expect to be doing an augmented spreadsheet or Word document.
I don't know. I mean, this gets back to Josiah's point earlier. I don't exactly know. I mean, they have built in universal apps, but I don't actually know how all of that works.
Yeah.
So anyway, they said it'll come out in the Windows 10 timeframe. Now, whether that means in the beginning,
said 2015. So
did they?
I'm pretty sure I heard 2015.
All I heard was
around
Windows 10
in 2015.
Yeah. Oh,
so Windows 10 should be coming out late spring, midsummer.
Interesting.
So, cool. I mean, that could still mean a few months after that. So,
that means that's probably the final product. Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll change the internals, but I don't think they're going to change the design this close.
And that scares me. If they just called it a dev kit, I'd be like, this is freaking awesome. But they're calling a product. They're saying it's going to be available. That makes me nervous because it just really seems tone deaf. If they feel like that is a product that will sell, if it's a dev kit, more power to them.
I think this is a problem that is definitely very difficult to solve. The only reason why I don't mind it in the Oculus is because it's such a specific use. You're playing a video game.
Exactly.
It almost feels like, okay, whatever.
You're
not
walking around.
Yeah,
you're not expecting people to see you. If you have friends coming over, they're going to be using it too, right?
Yeah.
Wearing
that thing. you can, you pass judgment how you want. But I just want to look as sci-fi as possible.
I mean, if it were like the visor that Geordi LaForge wore in Star Trek or something. No, it's five times larger than that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot bigger.
Anyway, let's take a break.
Reading Rainbow.
So before we get to our last topic.
Let's be real.
All right, time out.
If you're listening,
let's take a break here. What was your favorite game of 2014?
Rob?
You want to start with me? There were a lot of good releases, right? I mean, you had Hearthstone's full release, which I played a lot of. You had Shadows of Mordor, which has been pretty good. Dragon Age, Wolfenstein. I mean, there are some good releases.
It's Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor. Or is it?
Yeah, see, you don't even know.
Everybody corrected everybody because everybody's like, oh, it's probably just Lord of the Rings. But it's not. No. Lord of the Rings isn't even in the name.
So what do you guys
Shadow of Mordors. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Plural of Mordor.
What'd you guys play this year?
I'll jump in. So my choices are kind of atypical because I don't have a modern a next gen console. I don't have a powerful PC at home.
He's on an Apple too. He's looking for Snake.
You have to crank it. It's weird. Zork. But so the games that I spent the most time on are MOBAs. So League of Legends. Mm. And I've been playing the alpha test for the Blizzard MOBA, Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
So obviously that's not been released. But that's the thing with these free-to-play online games is that once they're out there, they're not released. But they can still be your favorite game because you're spending so much time on it. And so I'll say hands down, the most amount of time that I've spent on a game is actually a game on my iPhone. It's Marvel Puzzle Quest.
You are obsessed with this game.
You have a streak, right? Of how many days consecutively you
play? Yeah, I literally play this game every day because it's easy enough to play it every day.
You're over a year at this point, right?
I'm over a year.
It's crazy. Even for people like us who play, I don't know, quote, real games, it's funny how addictive just regular games can I have games I play on my cell phone too.
And so it's not addictive. I can quit anytime.
So I call them poop games because I play them when I'm taking a poop. So like Two Dots for me has been my poop game recently. Like that's what
But there's some like Threes I feel like is a legit game.
Threes, yeah.
So I see like a Facebook posting of a high score on Two Dots, I'm like, oh, Rob's taking a shit.
It was right a really long, really long shit.
He signed in.
So Sean, what do you got? What was your favorite game?
Well, okay. So, you know, looking back, I don't know if I played that many new games. I guess
Every time I'm talking to you, you're playing a game.
Out of the top games, I guess the top couple of games I played were probably either Shadow of Mordor, but I only played it for a couple of hours, but I liked it so far. And then to a surprising degree, or I was surprised that I really liked it, was the new Wolfenstein game.
Yeah.
I mean, because the best part about it was the story and how personal it was.
Surprisingly enough.
Which, I mean, you're talking about Wolfenstein. The whole game originally was, you know, BJ Blazkowicz going around just shooting guys. And you just pick up a little dinner so you can restore your health. Like, it was, I mean, you ended the first Wolfenstein by fighting robot Hitler. I don't think they really cared about what was going on. But anyway,
best boss ever.
Wolfenstein ended up having a really personal story, and I liked it a lot. I mean, I don't know if it'd go into my, like, top 50 games of all time, but it
was no Dark Souls.
It was no Dark Souls 1. Which, by the way, Dark Souls 2 wasn't as good. It just wasn't.
How many hours did you play it?
A lot, because it's Dark Souls. Yeah, I'll play it to the end.
So nullified. So I would say my favorite game was late. It was actually Dragon Age. And it's funny because when I first saw the preview, I did not expect to like it. And I wasn't even planning on buying it. And then I saw a deal.
I actually told you to play it. And you're like, I'm not going to play it.
Yeah, but you know I do that all the time. So I said, no, I'm not going to pick it up. And then I saw a deal for PC for like $30. So I was like, oh, why not? I'll try it out. And I have sunk a lot of time into it. And it's... But that said, it's not my favorite game of the year because 2014 was the year that we all got heavy into tabletop games.
Oh,
and so we got back into Magic the Gathering, played Dominion. I'm looking at all the board games that are scattered.
Yeah, I don't even know what everybody's here called.
But actually, Dungeons and Dragons is what Solitaire. We got into. So I've now outed you guys. So if you haven't told anybody else that you play D&D, now everybody knows.
Someone may be murdered D&D, at the end of the podcast.
We played 4th edition, Josiah DM for us, and then now my brother's DMing us a 5th edition custom campaign, which we will be releasing on Commentus Block. So there you go.
We'll see.
It's happening.
If it's boring, don't release it. But
I'll listen to it.
I mean, obviously we enjoy it, but I don't know.
We're going to leave it up to you guys. Just respond and tell us what you think.
Let's get back to business. So my topic is something I've been wanting to talk about for a while. We just haven't had a podcast to talk it on. So I blogged about it a little bit.
This is actually the reason the podcast is
actually why I started. You guys, because I really want to talk about this. So I don't know if you guys noticed, but diehard listeners to this podcast will realize that I did not introduce myself as the Windows guru anymore. The fanboy.
Traitor.
Yeah.
Awful, awful traitor.
Yes, I know. So I decided...
Joe Belfiore cried.
Satya Nadella. He tweeted at me, actually. He's like, what are you doing, man? So
that's actually how he said it.
I... he flipped his hair before he did it. So I actually embarked on an experiment, and I have been trying out the new iPhones. Well, it's not new anymore, but the iPhone 6. I know, it's shocking.
I'm shocked.
So a few things.
You should see Josiah's face right now.
A few things led up to this, right? So I've had Windows phones since Windows Mobile, right? We talked about that earlier.
OG.
I've had all Windows 7 devices, Windows
8. List off your devices. What was it? The HTC Diamond, right?
Is that what it was? No, the Fuse. It's the HTC Fuse.
Fuse.
Yes.
And then you had the Samsung Focus.
Yep. And then I had the Lumia 900. And 920.
You never... Oh, you're right. I had the 800. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So anyway, so I had a few gripes, right? One was that there was no good flagship device that was being released anytime. I had an upgrade that I had to use, and I didn't want to waste it, right? So yeah. there was no flagship device. The M8, I could have gotten the M8 for Windows, but I was like, it's a year old hardware right now. I don't know if I want to do that. My 920 was getting kind of old and clunky. It's a brick. I mean, that thing is massive.
Yeah.
And so the other big thing was that Microsoft was doing a lot of development for iOS and Android for their core apps, like more so than they were doing.
Right, yeah.
I mean, a lot of the Microsoft apps look better on iOS and Android than they do on Windows Phone.
Yes, they do.
And so what put me over the edge was the first time I was in Best Buy, and I was just like milling around, as, you know, nerds do, and I was picking up things. And
he just shuffles.
I saw the stand for the iPhone 6, so I went over, I picked it up, and I kind of lost it. Like, like, it is just so small and slim, and the screen is just like absolutely gorgeous. So I had a little crisis where I had to find myself, and I didn't know if I could embark on this journey, but I decided to go.
There's a lot of crying.
We had debate.
You almost didn't make it, but here it is.
So anyway, can I just say, my experience going to buy an iPhone, I've never experienced this. This is coming from Windows Phone, right? So I went in, this is a few months after it's been released.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So I go in, I rock up to the iPhone or the Apple store, and I'm like, hey, I want to get an iPhone 6. And they're like, what do you have? Or service
carrier,
you have,
yeah.
Carrier. So I said AT&T. He said, what device are you looking for? 64 gig. And so he's like, oh, well, you got to wait in line. And so I turned around, and there's a line outside in the mall, like just hanging out.
This was like early December.
Yeah,
right?
This was not
really
released
in October. This is for, like, yeah. What are these people doing? And he goes, oh, wait, no, just kidding. We don't have any anyway. I was like, how are you out of stock? Like, these have been out forever. So anyway, so I almost gave up right there. I was like, this is ridiculous. I've never waited in line for a phone. I've walked up to the AT&T store the afternoon of a Windows Phone release and had no problem getting it. Like, yeah. No problem whatsoever. They're like, you know what? You can just have it.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked. An extra one.
Yeah, like, there's three of them. So I went over to Best Buy, and luckily they just got a shipment in anyway. So I've been using it since then. So I wanted to share with you my feedback on this so far.
Lay it on us, bro.
So I miss tiles. I'm not going to lie. I do miss tiles. I've never been a big fan of the home screen, the squares and stuff. It is nice to have access to new apps. So, like, that's always – the app gap has always been the one big thing, I think the biggest thing that Microsoft's had to face. And it's – they've caught up. They've got a lot of the core apps, like, you know, social media apps and all that stuff. But everything looks just so much damn nicer on iOS and Android. Like, all the apps are just designed really slick. It's very intuitive. I started using this app Elevate, which is just like brain games. But it is one of the most gorgeous things I've ever seen on a mobile device.
I tried
device.
That one out.
That said, if I was to go back, there's not too many apps that I think I couldn't live without. But anyway, let me keep
Marvel
going.
Puzzle Quest.
This is true. I don't know what I'd do without that game now. I will say, so I don't use Siri that much. I didn't like her. So I do like Cortana a lot better. I think she has better responses. She's less robot-y. That's a little bit more personalized. Although that said, there are rumors that Cortana is going to come on iOS and Android eventually. And if that does, really? there's no chance I'm going back.
But the thing is, native integration is important. It's the same thing. Like, you can get Google Now on an iPhone, but it's so much.
So that said, I'm still married to the Microsoft ecosystem. Like, I still use my Surface. I use Xbox Music for my music stuff. And that's actually the worst part about switching over is that the Xbox Music app. Some of the features are missing, right? Yeah, it's weird. Like, I can only download music to my phone, my iPhone, if it's part of a playlist and I make it available offline. Like, I can't just say I want to download this artist, which is really bizarre to me. Like, I don't know why that's that. But I mean, I use OneNote all the time and all this. I use the Microsoft Band, as I said. So I'm still very much a part of that ecosystem. But as I said earlier, Microsoft has been developing better apps for iOS than they have for Windows Phone.
Yeah,
and it makes it really hard to go back. So the whole purpose of this was for me to say, okay, when Windows 10 comes out, Windows Phone 10 Mobile, whatever you want to call it, that was my big, you know, do I want to go back? And based off this conference, I don't think there's enough. Unless they released a device that was exactly the iPhone 6, just using...
you mean that kind of hardware?
The hardware, sorry. Yeah. The hardware. The gap in the hardware is unreal.
Yeah,
I mean, it is night and day.
You know, I think it's ironic that when Microsoft bought Nokia, that's when this flagship phone gap really reared its ugly head, right? Mm-hmm. Because we were kind of waiting on Nokia to come out with a nice Windows phone, and then when in the transition of Microsoft buying them, it's like they didn't release anything that was nice. They just had kind of entry level and mid level phones in the pipeline. And so there's still this huge gap for a flagship Windows phone. It's really bizarre to me that they've let this happen.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I feel like it's 16 months or something. I mean, a year and a half.
No. Well, they put out the 1520, I think it was. They're like their huge, huge ass phone, which is ridiculous. Like, come on.
But hey, I mean, you say that, but phablets are definitely a thing. And
there's not that's a good point. They did put that out, but the variety, you know, is not there. Terrible. Like,
well, I think also the bigger problem is since no one else is really developing hard for Windows for Windows Phone except for Nokia. I mean, Samsung was making a device or two. HTC put out the M8, but that was a huge deal when HTC did that. Even though, I mean, let's be honest, it has a Snapdragon 800. It's not like it's slow. Just the feeling of getting a device that was on Android last year. It's almost like, imagine if Apple put out an iPhone 5S running Windows Phone. You know, just like, eh. But the thing is, when the partnership first started, the Lumia 800 / the N9, that was incredible. And that was definitely the thing where you see, because people, you know, a lot of people will say, you know what, when people copy Apple, they say, well, it's just a square device. Obviously, what, you know, how much can you iterate? Despite the fact that every iPhone looks significantly different from the last in a number of ways. In the same way, the Lumia 800 / the N9, it differentiated itself really well from the pack, and it looked really nice, and it was well built. The problem is they took that as a template, and they never iterated well enough. Like, everything looks like a slightly different build of that, and they never got thinness down. They always had bulk.
Yeah, I feel like they've always been really thick.
And so I don't know how they can get.
Their camera was one of the best things about the original Lumias, right? They always They
harped on having Carl Zeiss lenses a lot.
Yeah, sure.
But they were better than the competition probably back
until
then.
The iPhone 6 came out.
But the 1020 still has a really good shooter, but the problem is it's a big phone. Yeah, it's a big phone, and it has a bulk or a bulge in the back.
And just to walk it back for a second, I mean, I realize that there are these premium phones, but I guess I was saying flagship, like, you know, that phone with the big camera from Nokia, it's a quality phone, but I don't think of it as a flagship because it doesn't have broad appeal because it's such a big phone with that big camera. So, you know, like something like the Samsung Galaxy or whatever, or the iPhone 6, people are just going to pick that up. It goes like hotcakes. But Nokia being the 1020 being an awesome phone, it's high quality, it just doesn't leave the shelf because it's too niche of a product. So in my mind, it doesn't meet the criteria for flagship.
So Microsoft in the last year has been focusing on low and mid-range too.
Yeah.
They've actually been doing pretty well in that market
too. Yeah, they're trying to get into India and other developing markets, and you know, it's just not exciting for spoiled people in the U.S., I guess.
And it's always – it's still – I mean, it's always tough to fight Android because there's no licensing for Android. Right, right. So you got Chinese manufacturers making – I mean, the OnePlus One is $300. It's a 5.5-inch, like, 1080p phone. It has all this ridiculous amount of stuff. Like, it's hard to compete with these OEMs that are doing things like that.
Yes. So I will say there is one thing that I cannot live without now. It is slow motion video capture. I just tape mundane things and they become epic on this phone. So it's amazing. But anyway, that's going to do it for this week. I think this has been real. So please subscribe to us. We're on iTunes now. Please leave reviews. Let us know what you guys think. Share us with your friends and we'll be back next week. Do you guys have anything you want to plug?
Nope.
No plugs to
it. You can find out more about my experience with the iPhone on robbiestells.com. I've been writing on that, so check that out.
It's two B's.
Yes, two B's. Thank you,
Robbie.
Yeah, so check us next week. This is Unwind. We'll see you.
All right.
Peace.